Well, last week we started a new series called Unshakable, Standing Firm in the Storm. And we're talking about the tools that God gives us to deal with uncertain times in our lives. Times in our lives when, you know, everything around us is shaking, the storms are raging around us, and we need somewhere solid to stand. What can we do? What tools has God given us while we're waiting on Him to calm the storm or for the storm to pass? We're not very good at waiting, are we? I know I'm not. Have you ever seen that thing they do with kids? It's called the marshmallow test. It's where they put a marshmallow in front of the kid and they say they're going to leave the room. And they either tell them, like, don't eat that until I come back. Or sometimes they incentivize it a little bit, like, hey, don't eat that marshmallow when I come back and I'll give you an extra one. And then it's always interesting watching kids struggle, you know, with do I wait or do I not, you know, and kids eat marshmallows. Well, my daughter did something like that with our almost two-year-old granddaughter, Brylin. Brylin has just discovered the joy of M&Ms. And so Brianna thought she was going to try this with Brylin, and I want you to watch how this turned out.
Stand right here. I'm going to show you something. Okay, what is this? Oh, hold on. You gotta wait. What is it called? What's it called?
This one.
It's an M&M. Hold on. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna leave this right here. Don't touch it yet. I'm gonna go to the bathroom, and you need to wait until Mommy gets back to eat it, okay? She's like her mom. What can I say?
I don't know if you heard. She does a new little thing when she eats. Did you hear the little? She does that now while she's eating. So anyway. Oh, man. She's not much better than her papa. We're not good at waiting, are we? I was in line, well, a long line the other day at Chick-fil-A. And this lady, they have people out, and this lady was yelling and hollering at the guy because she thought she had, you know, she didn't have time to wait 2 minutes, and we're just not good at it. And when life's uncertain, right, when the storms are big, is, you know, and they're just about to blow us apart, it's really hard for us to wait. And so we talked last week about while we're in the waiting, while we're in those moments where we need God to come, then God encourages us to pray. Pray until the peace comes. This is what we talked about last week. And if you didn't hear that message, you ought to go back and listen to it, because I think for me this week, that's been a key, is trying to live in that and pray until the peace comes. Today, I want to talk to you about hope. How do you maintain hope in a world where at times this just seems hopelessly broken? How do we maintain hope in a world that's always, always feeling hopeless? Have you ever felt hopeless? You know, has anybody ever broken a promise to you? Maybe it was in your marriage, or maybe it was a promotion at work or a raise that you were supposed to get. Maybe it was a parent who always overpromised and then underdelivered every time. Maybe you heard a diagnosis from the doctor and hopelessness began to sink in. Maybe you had aspirations for your son or your daughter, and they got hooked up with the wrong crowd, and now that's they're into everything that you'd hope they wouldn't get involved in. Maybe you look at COVID. These last few months have been wearing, or maybe it's the chaos, the division in our country. I mean, we all find ourselves at times trying to manage that tension between having hope and feeling hopeless. And seeing this broken world and all the things that are going on, you may even sometimes feel like some things, they're so hopeless that there's no need in trying anymore. You're just tired and you can't go on. What's the point? And yet God's one of God's greatest weapons that He gives to us to help steady us when everything around us is shaking is hope. Hope helps us remain unshakable in a hopeless, shaky world. Let me give you a definition of hope. Hope is the person or thing in which your expectations for the future are centered. That's your hope. Hope comes from things that you're leaning into, kind of like a ladder. You know, you lean a ladder against something in order to climb it. And when we're kids, right? When we're kids and we're born, first few years of our lives, I mean, all we do is we lean our ladder on our parents, right? Because that's that we're dependent upon them. And at some point, you move your ladder and you lean it on popularity at school and what everybody else is doing. And then later on, maybe we move our ladder and we lean our ladder on our education. You know, we got our college degree, or maybe we got our master's or our doctorate even. We lean our ladder at different times in life on our ability to make money, on our career, on our family. Your hope is in that relationship. Your hope is centered in your ability. Your hope is centered in your looks. Your hope is whatever or whoever you have centered your expectations on to get you through and get you by in this world. We make a decision to lean the ladder of hope onto something that we think will support our ambition, that will support our happiness, our aspirations, our hopes and dreams for the future. And all of us have placed our hope in something. Your ladder's leaning on a wall somewhere, but only time will tell if that wall will hold you. Matter of fact, the only time most of us think about hope is when the wall that we've leaned our ladder upon has begun to crumble. The thing we were counting on begins to fall apart. The thing we thought was going to last and get us through, if we suddenly find isn't there anymore. It's not meeting up to our expectations. Well, we're not going to have children. We were hoping we were going to have kids. Or now the children are all grown. What are we going to do now? Or, you know what, I got let go by that company. I thought that company, I would work there my whole life and retire. I got let go, and now I have no hope. I'm not going to be able to retire when I thought. I've always been healthy. I've leaned my ladder onto my health, and all of a sudden my health is bad. What am I going to do? It's only when the thing that we leaned our ladder against doesn't come through for us that we begin to think about the whole subject of hope. How do I remain hopeful? How do I go on? How do I keep trying? How do I keep getting up every day? And we begin to realize that the thing that we've leaned our ladder against is not as secure as we thought it would be. All of us have a ladder of hope, and it's leaning on something. What's your ladder leaning on today? What are you counting on this morning? And how do you maintain hope in a world that is hopelessly broken? Now, the thing about the Bible, the thing about this book is that from cover to cover, the Bible tells us that we should place our hope in God, on our relationship with Him, over and over again. It's affirmed that we should lean our ladder onto the Father. But many of us in our culture, we have a hard time doing that. I mean, because listen, we're pretty good at creating some walls. You can get a top flight education here in the United States. You know, maybe some of us have really strong families, right? Or maybe, you know, you just got good genes, and so you know you're going to be handsome forever, you know, like John. And, you know, you know what, we can get the right surgery to correct that, you know, make our nose smaller or make our eyebrows thicker or whatever it is that you want to do. Maybe we can marry well, right? Maybe we can create connections. We're all about connections. If you know the right people, or if you're disciplined enough, or if you stay away from drugs and just say no, you know, all those things that we believe that if we do the right thing in the end, that we can overcome this. That there's something in this world that, yeah, I know those things. We're not supposed to count on them, but you know what? I got these things going for me. So we do everything in our power to put our hope in things that we control. We do everything that we can to put our lean our ladder on things that we create or things that we've been told should be our hope, in hopes that the ladder will hold and life will be okay. And if you're a Christian, you know what we're bad about? We're bad about making our own plans. We're bad about building our own walls. We're bad about doing our own things and then asking God to bless it. God, you know I really want that job. You know I really need that. You know, I really need to get into this school. I really need to, you know, I need to make this connection with these people. So here's my plans, Lord. Will you bless them? Will you get me through? But God says that all through Scripture, at some point you realize that we live in this hopelessly broken world. And you can be careful, and you can plan, and you can invest well, and you can get a great education. But at some point, you begin to realize that everything in this world, nothing in this world is secure. If we've learned anything over the last 7-8 months, it's that everything in this world can suddenly stop. Everything can change in ways that you never imagined. And all of a sudden, the stuff that you thought you were secure in, all of a sudden is not reliable anymore. Well, this morning, I want us to look at Romans 8 for a minute. Now, Luann does all the music a little bit ahead of me sometimes, and so she's already dug into my passage this morning and preached the first sermon on this. So I'm going to preach the second and hope I can do as well. But we're going to be in Romans 8. And like last week, I'm going to kind of go down verse by verse. So if you have your Bible, you can do, or if you've got, you know, the Bible app, you can go there. And most of these scriptures are in there. Some of this I'm going to have to paraphrase. And so what do you good is to start about verse 18 in chapter 8 of Romans this afternoon and read to the very end, and you'll get a fuller picture, but because I can't cover everything this morning. But Paul explains for us where our hope should be and the futility of us to lean our ladder against anything to do with this world. He actually, if you look in, I don't have this on the, so you guys in the back, I'm sorry, I don't have this on the screen. But if you were to look at verse 17, Paul's kind of shifting here. He's been talking about God and relationship with him. But he says in verse 17, he says, but if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. And then he says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Paul's about to tell us about how hopeless this world is and how this world is in pain. Matter of fact, Paul teaches, he talks some in this passage about sin. Now, we think of sin often, right? We think of sin as an action. But sin, as Paul's talking about it here, is something larger than that. It's not just an action. He, you know, in the book of Genesis, the creation story, we love the creation story, but then it gets to the part, you know, where things get broken. And sin entered this world through man's disobedience. And the Bible teaches, and Paul is talking about it in this way, that sin is a disease that's toxic and fatal. And that when sin entered the world, it killed everything. It affected everything, creation, relationships, the relationships between people and creation, the animal kingdom, everything. Everything in the world has been contaminated by sin. And it's a disease that's infiltrated into every part of life, which means, according to Genesis, everything living dies. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Now, I know some of us, we watch, you know, The Lion King, and we just think, oh, it's the circle of life. But the Bible says it's something more than that. It's sin in the world that has impacted everything. So Genesis teaches and Jesus teaches and Paul teaches that the reason everything in the world dies is because sin has polluted and corrupted everything. And that's the basis for his argument that it's a bad decision to put your hope in things that are in this world because they're all decaying. They're all dying. And so verse 20, he says, for the creation was subject to frustration in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay. Everything in this world is frustrating. It's frustrated and everything's in decay. It's like this week, I was looking, you know, we do the online sermon earlier in the week so that we can edit it and put it on and have it to go for Sunday morning. And I was just noticing while I was watching, I was praying, and I got to noticing how thin this was looking. And then the next morning, I got up and I looked in the mirror, and I don't know what happened overnight. I was white like Moses. I mean, my hair just seemed to be lighter. And I'm like, and every morning I get up, I'm 58. I get up and I find wrinkles, and my knee hurts, and my back is, anyway. You know what? All that's from the decay of sin. Everything is decaying. Your body, your relationships, your wealth, your material, you know, your possessions. Everything in our world had. Now, I know we think we can put it off, right? So, I mean, you know, so sometimes we get surgery to repair things, or we get a better education, or we think, man, I've got good genes. Or don't you just abhor people who look so much younger than they are? You know what I mean? I mean, I struggle with Sean so much. But anyway, We just, it's like we're decaying. We all are. We can't beat death. And as much as we try to overcome it, it catches up to us. Even when you do good things. Anybody remember Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa? Remember her, some of you? She died in 1997. I was looking at this. I didn't realize it was that long ago. Do you know what happened? You know what? Even she was the most compassionate woman. She did incredible things for the poor. She had such a heart of compassion. And yet at the end of the day, a person with such good works in their life still died, still passed away, still couldn't negotiate with God. If you leave me here, I could do more good here than in the ground. Because death catches up to all of us. Because when sin came into the world, it touched everything. And we live in this world full of decay. So let me ask you, why do we lean our ladder on earthly things? Why do we lean our ladders on things of this world? I think it's because we think we can beat it, or at least outrun it for most of our lives. It's, you know, we believe that we can beat the odds, and we can be careful enough and smart enough and live good enough. And Paul says that you've really got to embrace the news that you will not live forever. And that there's no way to beat the odds. The creation, which is all of us and everything in it, is in bondage. And yes, we have happy birthdays and we go on great vacations. And, you know, it's great to have kids. And I love having grandchildren. They're a great joy in life. And retirement can be great. There are some highlights. There are some mountaintop experiences along the way. But everything in this world, all the momentum is towards death. And that's part of what we're experiencing right now, all around us. God didn't create viruses. Things like COVID are part of living in this broken world. And you're probably sitting here thinking like, wow, I'm really glad I came to church today, Pastor. You're really, really grateful. Good deal. Well, give me just another minute, okay? In verses 22 and 23, I don't think I'm going to paraphrase them. I think I'm going to read them to you. Listen to this. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan. We believers also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit with us as a foretaste of the future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. See, in the midst of things like COVID, we don't avoid it. We groan for it as well. We're in this. Even though we have the Holy Spirit as a deposit in our lives, we still go through bad stuff because this is a broken world. And we still yearn for a body that won't die. Oh, well, let me finish reading. And he says here, a foretaste of the glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he promised us. I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to my new body. I think it's going to be more muscular and trimmer and slimmer, and I think I'm going to be able to eat all the chocolate I want in heaven and not gain a pound. That's what I believe. But here's the thing. You see what he's saying? He's saying, man, we're going through this stuff, and yeah, we groan too. We hurt too. This whole prosperity gospel that when you're believer, that when you trust in Christ, that you don't go through bad stuff. You do. Your body groans just like everybody else groans. Your body gets old like everybody else's body gets old. And even though you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you got a taste of what's coming. You've got a hope. Matter of fact, that's what he says in verse 24, for in this hope, the hope that we won't always be in these bodies and decaying, we were saved. That when you became a Christian, you became linked to a bigger, better story. You became linked to a story that one day, while we don't live in a world where every tear will be wiped away, we will one day. That while we live in these broken bodies in this broken world, and there are viruses and there are challenges and there's job loss and there's sadness and there's things that make us mourn and cry, at the same time, there's going to be a day when we won't do any of that but celebrate. Amen. We have this hope. That's what we were saved into in verse 25. But if we hope that God has something more, that there's a place where sin and sorrow and death and sin's effects are erased, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, here it is, we wait for it patiently. Oh, I hate that. Because there's days I don't wait very patiently for it. I had a day this week where I longed for it pretty quickly. It's like, God, man, really? When you face days when, you know, you hear your friend's going to go in to have surgery, When you hear of another friend who's lost her dad and going through a lot of different things in her life. Man, it's hard to wait patiently. But that's what he says. We do not give up hope, but our hope, because our hope's not in this world, and our hope can't be in this life, because eventually that hope has always, in some way, if we hope in the world, that will always disappoint us. Because we live in a world that's in bondage to decay and that's full of frustration. That's always going to be our relationship with a broken, hopeless world. But if you have Christ, you have hope. You have something to look forward to. You have something that you are waiting on as patiently as you can. I hate that word patiently. It's hard. It's like M&Ms, right? I can't do that. But if we hope for this better world, we've got to be patient. And it's not that God doesn't understand. He understands that exactly. Matter of fact, you go like, well, then what do I do while I'm waiting patiently? How does God expect me to wait patiently? Because that's really difficult. Listen to verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What he's saying there, you know, have you ever been in the pit of despair where you didn't have any words, you were hurting so badly that you didn't have any words to say? You kind of hit the bottom, hit the bit. You got laid on your bed and you just couldn't find. You just groaned and you just moaned. You know what that scripture says? God gets that. God understands that. When the world presses in so much on you and is about to press all the hope out of you, or when you get a leak and hope begins to leak out and the hopelessness begins to take you over, he says there that his Spirit understands that, and his Spirit speaks to God about us in words that we can't even begin to say. To know that God helps us in those moments when we just feel like we can't go on. That he doesn't abandon us, but his spirit is there to speak to the Father about us while we wait patiently, to encourage us and to uplift us and to get us through. In this world, while we're waiting and the pressure is on and things are really hard, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us with the Father. That brings me comfort to know that I'm not by myself. So that this week, if there was a time in your life when you felt overwhelmed and overcome, I want you to know you weren't alone. As a follower of Jesus, his Spirit was right there beside you, and his Spirit was listening, and you may not be able to put it all into words, but the Spirit did to the Father for you. Man, that brings me great comfort. I want to go to verse 31. What shall we say then in response to these things? If we got all this stuff going on, check this out. If God is for us, who can be against us? And how will I know that God is for me? And then the other Davis preacher today read this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, as he becomes the focus of your hope, as you lean your ladder on him, as you center your expectations in the love of your heavenly Father, he says that's where hope does not disappoint. And the reason you know you can count on him is exactly what Luann said earlier. You can know you can count on him because he already gave up his son for you, to give you salvation, to save you. If God is for you, who's going to be able to stand against you? Who's going to be able to overwhelm you? And then verse 38. And remember, this is Paul. And we've talked about this last week a little bit. Who's been stoned with rocks, in prison, left for dead, shipwrecked, you know, three times. He's been beaten. He's been bit by a snake. He's had all these things. He's experienced the worst that the first century had to offer to a Christian. And here's what he says. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else, which is great because Paul lets us fill in the blank. Anything else, neither divorce or abandonment or isolation or job loss or COVID-19 or what's going on with my retirement account, none of that, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. He's saying, look, You want to put your hope in something that's secure, in something that will always be there, in something you can always count on? Then put your hope in Him. Put your hope in His love for you. So that when the winds blow and try to shake your life, that you can stand in uncertain times. You can remain unshakable in a shaky situation and shaky circumstances. Every time uncertainty and doubt starts to creep in, and listen, He knows we're humans. That's why the Holy Spirit prays for us and intercedes for us, because he knows we're weak, and He knows there's times we struggle with that. But in those moments, the Holy Spirit prays for us, and God is able to sustain us if we'll lean on Him. Nothing can separate us. So you got to move your ladder and lean it on Him. If you want to maintain hope in a hopelessly broken world, He says you've got to move your ladder and lean it on Him, because that's the place you find enduring hope, because of what He's done for you. He's brought you into this bigger story. There is an eternal life that goes beyond this world. His Spirit hears your groans. He takes your knees. He didn't spare His own Son. All of these things. And He says He will give you everything. Everything. Everything that you need. That didn't mean make a shopping list and, you know, go online, you know, and order a bunch of stuff. That's not what He's saying. Is everything that you need. Safety, security, peace, confidence, trust, hope, love. Oh man, love is something that gets squeezed in times when the world is shaky. He fills you with all of those things, and nothing in this life can come between you and Him unless you let it. Unless you let it. He says there's nothing out there unless you let it come between us. So what do I do while I live in this broken world full of hopelessness? You live out kingdom values. In a world where there aren't a lot of happily ever afters, you love like crazy. And when you don't get loved back, it's okay, because that's not why you were doing it in the first place, to receive a reward from somebody else to love you. You just love because that's who you are as a child of God, and that's what God's done in your life. It means you serve like crazy, and when no one serves you back, you don't lose hope, because that wasn't where your hope was to begin with. It means you forgive like crazy. And when people don't forgive you back, or you don't get the benefits of forgiveness, you don't lose hope, because your hope was never placed there anyway. Do you plan? Yeah. Do you have ambition? Yes. Do you leverage the talents and skills you have? Do you build things and pursue progress? And do you save and love and engage culture in the world? Yeah, you do all that. But you do it. But do you place your hope in that? No. My hope is not in all of those things. My hope is in Him. Just like Jesus and Paul and Mother Teresa, or maybe like your mama and your grandmama, you love people like crazy, and you do your best and you use your God-given talents and skills to accomplish everything that you can. But at the end of the day, in spite of all of that, and along with all of that, our hope is in our Heavenly Father. That's where I've leaned my ladder. That's where my hope is. It means at night when you go to bed, you look up and you give Him thanks for the day, and you place your hope in Him. Some days you thank Him. It was a perfect, you know, wrinkle-free day, and you still thank God for it, and you say, my hope is in You. And then there's other times you lay in bed and you tell them about all the awful things. Had a terrible day. They never called me back, and I'm still jobless, and money's running out, and you know, I see no prospects for a job, and COVID is rampant, and the world is evil, and I'm so disappointed. But my hope is in You today. My hope is in not how the day went. My hope is in You and Your love for me. Whatever it is that you have placed your hope in will determine whether you're able to remain hopeful in a world where things are hopelessly broken. So where are you leaning your ladder this morning? Where have you placed your hope? Where have you centered your expectations for the days that are ahead? Is it in as a relationship with Him, or is it in something in this world that will never be able to hold your ladder forever? Is your hope placed in what He has done for you and what you know He will do for you, the promises that He's made for you, what this book, what Romans 8 tells us about it, or is it in something else? Something else that maybe you have an advantage over others, or something that, you know, maybe you think that's going good. Where's your hope this morning? Where's your ladder lean? The only way to maintain hope in a hopelessly broken world is to place your hope in the unfailing love of God. If you lean on what he did for you, no matter how shaky the storm, no matter how uncertain the times that we live in, no matter how uncertain the days are ahead, no matter how unstable life gets, or how hopeless the world may seem, his unfailing love will make you unshakable in a shaky, shaky world. Will you bow your heads with me this morning and let's talk to God? Father, this morning we open our hearts to you today. And there seems to be in this world in which we live a lot of hopelessness. Seems to be a lot of things in this world are letting us down. Jobs that we counted on, people that we counted on, routines that we counted on. It seems as though in these days of national unrest and COVID and everything else that's going on in our world, there's so much uncertainty and there's so much fear and there's so much discouragement that I'm sure this morning that for some, they've just felt like it's hopeless. It's not even worth trying anymore. But God, today you have reminded us from your word that what you give us in the midst of these storms, in the midst of all the things that are shaking apart around us, you have given us a firm place to stand. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in you. So God, we would ask you to look deep in our heart this morning. God, if I lean my ladder on anything other than you? Have I leaned my ladder on my job? Have I leaned my ladder on my abilities? Have I leaned my ladder on my family? Have I leaned my ladder onto some other hope other than you? Have I trusted and depended on something, Lord? Is that why I'm full of hopelessness today? Because the fact of the matter is, through all of these things, you have not changed. You are the same God today and forever. Your love for us has not changed. And so today, no matter what's going on around me, Father, if my hope is in you and it gives me a stable place to stand, it has been there through thick and thin. It's there through the good times and the bad. So God, today, would you please, Lord, would you forgive us for putting our ladders any other place but you? Forgive me for leaning into anything else from you. Forgive me for hoping in anything else other than you. Forgive me for putting anything before you. I don't want to idolize anything, Lord. I don't want to trust in anything but on you and your love for me, because you have proven again and again and again how much you love me. You sent your son Jesus to forgive me for my sins, to live in me, to empower me. God, my hope is in you, and there is nothing that can separate us. God, forgive me for letting something come between you and me. Please, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of that. And God, if there's anybody here today, Father, who doesn't know you as Lord, and maybe they've leaned their ladders and they've seen them start to crumble, and this morning they need to realize they need to move their ladder and trust in you. Maybe they never have. And so today, Father, may they relinquish their life to you. Ask for the forgiveness of their sins, that to let what Jesus did on the cross count for them, and to redeem them and to renew them and save them today, and to become a follower of yours, and to lean the ladder of their life wholly and fully upon you today. God, this morning, in this hopeless world, we have inside of us the hope of the world in your spirit and in your presence. So God, would you help us to go out into this world and let that light shine? Don't let us not go out of here today and lean our ladder on anything else but on you. And Father, as we do, may people see and know your presence and recognize it in us. And may we be beacons of hope in a world full of hopelessness. This is such a time for the church to shine. This is such a time for Christians to that they may see the presence of God in our lives and people might turn to him. Lord, we love you today. And all that we have and all that we are, we only want to lean on you this morning. Help us this week to go out and do nothing but to lean upon you each and every day. And may you fill us with hope. May that hope sustain us. May that hope give us courage. May that hope strengthen us so that we might be able to face whatever it is we face this week as we go out into our world. God, we love you today, and we give you all our thanks and all our praise in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want you to know something this morning. If you ask Christ into your heart today, I'd love to hear from you. Or maybe there was something this morning that you prayed about that's been coming between you and Christ, and maybe this morning you opened your heart and repented of that and asked God to help you. I'd love to pray for you as well. And so you can email us and let me know, or, you know, message us, or I just like to know what God's doing in your life right now. Hey, as you leave in just a moment, we're going to have a benediction that's kind of built around what we talked about today, a blessing today. But as you leave, the offering plates are in the foyer, and you can either give in the offering plate, or you could mail it. You can also go online to our website and give, or text any amount of money to that number that you see there on the screen. We appreciate you continuing to give. I know that we as a people, we believe that stewardship is important because we follow him, and it's the way that we honor God in our lives. And so I appreciate those of you who have continued to give faithfully and support the ministry of what we're trying to do here at Fairlawn Nazarene Church. Well, will you stand with me this morning? And then let me give you a benediction, a blessing today that's kind of built around what we talked about this morning. And this is my prayer for you. We thank you, Lord, for reigniting the flame of hope within us, for filling our hearts with light and evicting the darkness, for giving us a new vision of your glory. Help us to go now as light bearers to a world in darkness. Help us to go now as hope carriers into a world that is in despair. May we lean on you and go in the name of Christ, in the love of God, and in the power of the Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Say goodbye to one another and have a great week this week.